Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown. This is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Kelly Jordan. And Kelly, you know, number one ranked angler wasn't too long ago. You were number one ranked angler in the State Farm World Rankings.
Yeah, that was quite an honor and accomplishment. And, you know, it kind of bounced around a couple times. I was first, and I was second, and I was first, and I was second, and kind of falling off a little bit. Had a couple of tough tournaments close out the year, but I'm at the Bassmaster Classic right now. That's always a great thing.
Well, anytime you make the big dance and make the Bassmaster Classic, you got to be happy with yourself. You had a phenomenal year, and one of those stringers at Santee Cooper you always will remember.
Yeah, that was the final day of the last Bass Tour event of the year on Santee Cooper. I had 32 pounds and 2 ounces, and it was one of those days that, you know, everybody has very occasionally. That's what makes it so special, but to have it the last day of a tour event and be able to be a, you know, a strong enough deal to win and come from a 7-pound deficit to take the whole title, I tell you what, that was truly a gift.
Well, you look at Mark Kyle, you know, he was the guy who was on the bubble there. He's 7 pounds the lead. He thought there's no way if he just catches a nice bag, has over 20 pounds, comes in, you still got him.
Yeah, I really felt bad for Mark. I mean, it was a tough deal. I spoke with him about it today, matter of fact, sat next to him in the autograph signing session we had at the park out here at the Classic, and that's got to be some kind of record, be have a 7-pound lead and catch 23 pounds the last day of the tournament and get beat. That's crazy.
Well, you live down near Lake Fork, you know, and of course that is infamous for the absolute giant fish, and I'm sure you've had a 30-pound stringer there before. You know, one of the things that come to mind, you know, the big baits in California and a lot of things you're seeing, have they made their way to Texas yet?
See, we're throwing big swim baits and stuff in Texas a long, long time ago. You know, 15 years ago, we were throwing striper-sized sassy shads and one-ounce lead heads. When the AC plug first came out, it was worked on Lake Fork and in California. That was basically the two places. When the cast egg trout came out, we had the first one. The reason there's a cast egg gizzard shad, it's a big cast egg trout, but it's white. That is because of Brian Duplashane, who is a guide on Lake Fork, mailed the guys at Cast Egg Bait Company a gizzard shad in the mail and said, copy this. So, yeah, they've had quite an impact on Lake Fork, and we've been doing those for quite a while. We maybe haven't, you know, got to this sophisticated level of the use of it as the West Coast guys, but we definitely have reaped the benefits of swim baits.
Well, you know, Texas has kind of been the hotbed. You know, you think about California, you got all the big fish and all that, but, you know, you see the great anglers year in, year out at the Classic. There's always a big group of them from Texas, and it's got to be, you know, the fisheries are so good. The Texas Wildlife Group down there has done a phenomenal job. And, you know, this just seems like the good anglers, when you look at them, they're always from Texas.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just because it's so big and there's so many people to draw from or what. We do have the fantastic fishing. I mean, if you could pick, you know, a place to live to be able to, you know, experience just about every aspect of bass fishing you could, and every kind of lake you could experience, you know, not counting ice fishing, Texas would be a very good choice, and yeah, I love that I live there, and I you know, a great part of my you know, success on the tour is due to my different experiences in Texas growing up.
Well, you know, a lot of people probably don't know, you know, in your time off away from the tours and that kind of stuff. I know you fish all the time. I know that, but you know, what are some of the things that you do? You try to hone your techniques in the off season? Are you working on special things?
You know, I do that sometimes. I'll try a new technique, a new pattern. Maybe if I got a new bait, I'll kind of, you know, develop confidence in it. I like to go when they're biting really, really good, keep you fired up, and then I'd like to take breaks. And you're right, I do fish all the time. My break usually is like going saltwater fishing off the coast of Texas, something like that. I do quite a bit of hunting. I usually don't kill very much. I just like to be out there. I've bow hunted for deer and everything like that for years, and I mean big time, and gun hunted South Texas, and I've only taken 2 bucks in the last 10 years, and last year I bet you I hunted 20 days and I never pulled the trigger. But I just, you know, love to have the time in nature, and just you know, being a part of it enhances your ability to fish and too, just kind of staying in tune with you know, everything in the natural world.
Well, where you live, you also get to go red fishing. You talked about that ocean fishing. That's a phenomenal fish, a big, strong fighting rascal. Have you thought about doing any of the redfish stuff?
Well, a good friend of mine, Cody Bird, is a self-described saltwater guru. And I keep telling him, I say, man, put your money where your mouth is. Let's go do one of those deals. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And it just hasn't happened yet. But I think we plan on doing it in the future. I think it would be a blast. You know, I'm not that experienced with redfish. I've caught quite a few. But I know Cody, he did it all growing up down the coast of Texas. He knows what he's doing. Zell Rowland's another guy. He's talked about teaming up. He's talked to myself and to Cody Bird about jumping in there. And we haven't had the opportunity yet, but if the opportunity arises, we're going to do it.
Well, you mentioned Zell. You know, one of the things I guess I got to ask you is, you play golf too?
Play golf. Not very good and not very often. It's like when I'm at the driving range, I play a lot with Mark Pack, the owner of Lake Fork Trophy Bait and Tackle. And He has a favorite saying for me on the golf on the tee box. It's, I hear it every hole. He's like, you got plenty of postage, no address. You never know where my ball's going to go, but we get out there and hit the ball around. I think a lot of fishermen like to do that, get away. It's kind of a fun time to, you know, kind of relax and spend some time with some good people, maybe even industry people, and have some really good conversations and, you know, get some work done. So, yeah, it's a fun thing.
Well, bait design, you know, that's something you guys always get involved in, and you're able to hone that based on your experiences. How much of that are you doing?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to brag on Lakeport Tackle and all that stuff, but there has been a lot of money in tournaments won on Mark Pack's products. He is, the reason he got in the bait business is because he was a guy forever and always said, why doesn't somebody make something like this with this in it? And to be honest with you, his baits and the garlic and everything that he puts in there, his proprietary stuff that he puts in there, man, I'm living testament. Even an idiot can catch fish on it. I mean, it is, I'm not kidding. It is a definite asset to my fishing. And for years I've fished similar stuff with other guys, people, big time pro fishermen in the same areas, and when they're really on a bait, and I've been able to walk away and beat them pretty good. And a large part of that is because of the baits. And, that's one thing that Mark and I work on, we talk about. He's always tinkering with things. You know, he was the first guy to have a tungsten megaweight. He's got, you know, he's always engineering, and he's kind of a quiet little company, but the people who fish, they know. So it's kind of neat to be a part of that.
Well, I got to give you a little bit of, guff here a little bit, because, number one, you're giving yourself no credit at all. I've been in a boat with you, and I know just how good you are. You know, sight fishing is one of those things that really is your forte. I've watched you do that. I've seen you in the boat, see that fish on the bed. There's very few people that are as good as you are at that technique. Is that time on the water as well?
It is time on the water, and it's also, vision has a lot to do. I don't know if maybe you can see them better. I've always been able to see stuff that other people haven't. That's where, like, deer hunting is a good thing in the fall, or any kind of hunting, or even being out in nature. You know, it's a trained eye. If you're always training your eye and you're always in the natural environment and you're looking around and you see things that other people don't see, little movement or something, your brain is just programmed to pick up little differences. And like when we're side fishing, a lot of times you really can't see the fish. You can barely see the tip of the tail a couple times, or kind of a shadow. I guided for years, and I would just clearly see a fish that you could barely see. It was just a little bit darker shadow, but clearly it's the bass, and they can't see them. And it's not that they're blind, but it is a trained eye. And it is definitely time on the water, experience. And plus, a lot of the experience is knowing how to react to a bass and know what to do in certain situations. And nobody's perfect at it. We're all continuously learning, myself included. I would imagine Shaw Grigsby would even say he learns more about sight fishing every time he goes. But it's definitely one of those deals. It is kind of like hunting. I've had guide clients make that remark many, many times, because you're so in tune to what's going on, and you got to almost like be quiet and don't talk very loud, although that's not really the deal. But you can't screw. It's very intense. And I guess that's part of the thing that drives people that really enjoy sight fishing, because it is so intense and the rewards are tremendous.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been thinking about coming out with this pair of shoes, you know, these real tall pair of shoes. I'm only 5'8". These guys are 6'3", 6'4", like yourself. You know, you can see up a little higher. I think you got an advantage on me.
I'm 6'4", on a good day when I jump high. I'm 6 feet tall, 5'11 and 3/4", actually. I'm not really 6 feet tall. I think height probably helps quite a bit. But, you know, you talk about the angle. They may have, you know, maybe a little bit of an advantage. I don't really know that it'd be that much of an advantage. I do know if you maybe had a 5 foot or a 3 foot higher tower, that'd be big. A 7 foot NBA player would definitely have an advantage on you, but that would just enable him or her to sit that much farther away from the fish. But I don't know that height's the deal, man. It's all a trained eye. And number one thing I can say to somebody who wants to go out and do too is make sure you invest in good quality optics. I happen to use Oakley sunglasses in this last event at Santee, and things like that, there's no substitute for good quality optics. That's where you have to start. You can't go and learn as fast. It just accelerates the learning curve. So that's probably the thing I would stress more than anything, is good optics.
Well, I'm going to make you a bet right here. Number one ranked angler Mark Davis currently owns that, but I know you're after him.
That's right. It gives you something to shoot for. You know, I've been there. I've tasted it. I know how much I like it, and I will definitely be doing everything in my power to get back there someday.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.